like our content? It's funded by viewers like you. Please consider becoming a sustaining supporter of New Church Live today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to New Church Live. My name is Curtis, and today I'm going to be talking to you about...
Oh, hey. Am I supposed to talk into this thing?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what this is for? I thought it was just, you just had to have it up on the stage, and that's what you do with it. So you're telling me... No, that was total accident. I didn't plan that. You're telling me that knowing what something is for matters. If you don't use it for the thing, if you don't know what it's about, it's going to have a cascading effect where it causes all kinds of disruption. Okay. Well, that's handy that we started out like that. Let's take that same principle, and today I want to talk to you about something else that I feel like people don't really know what it's for. And that something is religion. What's religion for? Why are you doing the religion thing? And I think that wherever you are, wherever you're watching from, I think you're a little bit religious. You know how I know? Because you're watching a church thing. You're watching church right now. It could be that you've got your headphones on and you're like, no, I'm not watching church. I'm just checking up on sports or something, but for some reason, you feel yourself pulled in this direction. What's the point of religion? Why are you doing that? Why is anybody, you know how many people in the world are religious? It's like a lot. You might think that there's not that many because in the West, there's the vaunted religious decline. Worldwide, there's a ton of people that are religious. What is it? What, when you say that you keep using that word, I don't think you know what that means. What is religion? Here's the definition that I want to give you today. And to me, this is it's a simple, but it's a hugely important perspective shift, because if you don't know, remember the microphone example, if you don't know what something's for, it's going to mess everything up. So religion is the definition of religion. I made this up. It's not from anything, but I'm going to back it up in a minute. Religion is a set of tools that facilitate living a good life. What is religion? When we first think of religion, we probably think of the trappings of religion. Do you attend religious services? Do you read the Bible or another sacred text? Religion is a set of tools that facilitate living a good life. The essence of the religion is in that good life that you live. And you might say, oh, that's just you. You're kind of secularizing it. You're kind of taking it away from the actual churchiness of it and just making it into like a pop psychology, feel-goody kind of thing. Okay, well, let's check in with, there was a guy who was fairly religious, name of Jesus Christ. What does he say? What does he say about what the point of religion is? First thing I want to do is, I quote this quote probably 3 or 4 times every time I'm up here, but this is the only time when Jesus, who is God, when God is directly saying, this is what is the most important thing to do. Okay? Wouldn't you like that kind of clarity? This is what he says. This is a time in which people are trying to trip up Jesus and by saying, come on, you got to pick a favorite. There's all this stuff in these religious scriptures that you seem to be following so much. What's the most important thing? Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, even back then, lawyers, man. Teacher, what is the great commandment? What is the great commandment in the law? What is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And he could have stopped there, but he keeps going. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And he could have stopped there, but he goes on. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. It's almost like a politician answer when there's a question, but you want to get your talking points in, so you go on longer than you have to, because he says, what's the great thing? I'll tell you the great thing, and there's another great thing. It's just like that thing. But then when he goes on to say this whole love God, love your neighbor thing, which he says are it's like it. It's the same thing. Love people. All the law and the prophets hang on this. Do you know what the law and the prophets are? That's the scripture. The law is the books of Moses. The prophets are the prophetical books of the word. So all of religion hangs on this. It is about, religion is a set of tools, the purpose of which is to live a good life. That's just what Jesus said about it. Who knows if it's really true? Then another one I want to point you towards, and of course anyone can go through this big book of the Bible and pick out certain verses and say, this is what it's all about. No, this is what it's all about. But I feel like that is the time when most explicitly Jesus is asked, what's it about? But then this is when he's describing, how are people going to know that you're a follower of mine? Which is what I think Christian just means, follower of Jesus. So this one is from John. Where is John, though? 1335. You all knew that already. Oh, yeah. How do you know if somebody is religious? Or how do you know if somebody's Christian? How can you tell? Here's where Jesus Christ says, this is the quick way to tell. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. How are people going to know that you're doing it? Religion is a set of tools by which you live a loving life. That is what Jesus says about it. We tend to think, like, let's say you're like, oh, I met this new friend. And you might ask, like, oh, are they religious? Is your friend religious? Well, I mean, they got these religious elements to them. They pray a lot. They pray a lot. They do a lot of praying. They read the Bible. He's got like several copies of the Bible. Goes to church every Sunday. Has that, you know, the fish bumper sticker. He's got that. So is he religious? I don't know. I don't know if he's religious. He has the means by which you could be religious. But again, that's not Christianity. Christianity is the using of those things or things like them to live a good life. The good life itself is the religion. Those are the instruction manual to be religious, but the good life is the religion. That's a big deal. That's a big deal, and it's not what I think of initially. Because if I think of, why am I religious? I'm a very religious type guy. Look at me here. I'm here talking, opening. I got the Bible open, and I'm talking to you all about it. My whole like professional life is talking about heaven and God and all these things. Why am I doing that? I don't know. I just know like I like it. It feels good. It feels like it's making life better. The point of it, the function of it, is to bring you to a good life. And that religion, you go into a religion because you believe these are the tools by which it will create this effect in me. These are the seeds that can be planted, but the harvest is the good life that's lived. Here's where I want to give you a couple of passages where New Church theology in particular backs this up. And this was how I got to this perspective, where I realized, oh, that's what the whole thing is for. So this is from Secrets of Heaven 2228. This evidence shows what faith is. It is charity. A charity, that is a word in Swedenborg that has been translated kindness or thoughtfulness. Charity, not just meaning, are you going to round up to the nearest dollar to donate to the something foundation? Charity is a way of life in which you act with love for people. Faith is that. Everything called a doctrine of faith leads toward charity. That's how you know if something is part of the faith or not. Does it lead you toward charity? There's a bunch of ideas right now in the religious sphere that I don't see as leading toward charity. They just divert you. They have nothing to do with the work of living a good life. That's how you know if something is part of religion or not. Does it lead toward the charitable life? Come on, that's so simple and so good. Also, here's another way it's phrased. This is 2231 from the same book. Speaking generally, there's only one doctrine, which is the doctrine of charity. Because every element of faith looks toward charity. Why am I attending church services? Why do I read New Church Theology? Why do I read the Bible? Why do I do anything religious? It is to lead me to the good life. That's something that I wouldn't mind at all telling everybody. Are you religious? Well, of course I'm religious. What is religion? Well, I have this set of beliefs and tools by which I believe I'm going to be led to the good life. People talk about the decline of religion, I mentioned before. There's all these charts and graphs. Like, look at this. There's a decline in people who are religious, and there's an increase in people who are nuns. Is religion declining in the West? We don't know. We don't know. Because a religious affiliation does not equal religion. Religion is the good life that your belief system prompts you to choose. That may be shifting attitudes in people's attitudes towards religious organizations or even towards doctrine and things. But as far as are we becoming more or less religious? I don't know. Go out there. Are people living good lives? Have they been moved by their spiritual ideas to live good lives? That's how you can tell. That's what it is. Okay, I can get behind that. So what I hope to do through this talk today is to give you a newfound sense of, oh, I like religion. Religion is cool. I'm glad to be religious because this is what religion is. And if knowing the basics of what it's for then helps organize and categorize everything else that belongs to it. So today, your takeaway is religion is a set of beliefs and tools and rituals and communities, the purpose of which is to lead me to live the kind of loving life that Jesus describes, that is the goal of religion. So when we come back, we're going to take a look at how we're going to go back to this, to Jesus. Can I talk to you about Jesus and look at how places in his ministry, which he's, you know, this really good example where he has to make a choice between the doctrines and the life of good and what it is that he chooses and how. Dum da da da, 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 dum da da da. Don't you wanna be a fighter for justice? Don't you wanna be a leader of peace? Won't you come with me on a march of freedom, working and shouting for equality? Equality. We won't stop until we make a difference. We won't give up, we won't concede. Won't you take my hand and join the circle? The circle won't be broken long as we believe. Oh, we believe.
it's always right. The time is right to do what's, to do what's right. Da 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 da. Don't you wanna be a fighter for justice? Don't you wanna be a leader of peace? Thank you.
It starts with wanting. You're saying that song, which is a great fit here, is like, what, don't you wanna do what's good? Yeah, people do, but it's hard. It's hard to figure out how to do what's good. It's hard to maintain that desire to do what's good. It's hard to not get wrapped up in frivolous stuff or despair or negativity. Religion, the reason why you do need doctrines and communities and church services and things is that you're in that religion because you believe that's the best way that this good life can be, God can bring that about in you. It's not that we're trying to say, it's just about being good. So get rid of, like, you don't need the Bible. You don't need your churches and stuff. It's not that easy. It's not that easy to be good. It's not that easy to know how to be good. Jesus Christ, and I think one of the reasons why he is so enduring in the world is that there's this mix of love and wisdom there. That yes, it's all about love, but there's a structure by which love is to be pursued. And and Jesus was not like, I'm here to get rid of religion. I remember there was this big video on YouTube, 10 years ago, I guess, which is 1,000 years ago in YouTube time, where there was this guy who had this spoken word poem about, you know, what if I told you that Jesus was here to abolish religion? Which is like, there was a sentiment in that maybe is right, but Jesus wasn't about that. He was quoting the Bible all the time. He was talking about following precepts. Like, it was this mix. It wasn't just throw one out and keep the other. But there is a hierarchy of importance. The love matters more. Not the love matters more than the truth. The truth is to get you to the love. And there's a couple times when this is made apparent by Jesus. So remember, religion is, as we go into these two stories, which I think are some of the best stories about them, religion is what? A set of tools to facilitate living a good life. Rolls off the tongue. Actually, just backstage there, I realized probably a better way to say it would be religion is the good life that emerges from a particular set of tools. But it's too late. The slides are made. I shoulda, woulda, coulda. So let's go back to these two stories from Jesus where you can tell what the priority is because there's a time at which he bends the rules to get to the point of it, to get to the good life. So the first one comes from Luke 6. Settle in. I don't have to go so fast from telling you what story I'm going to read to be reading it right away. A little bit of dead air is okay. So this is story in which the good is prioritized over the rules. Now it happened on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the grain fields. He's walking around in an agricultural area. And his disciples plucked the heads of grain and ate them, rubbing them in their hands. I didn't even know you could do that. I think I live in such a modern world that it's like, oh, food comes in a package, I'll eat that. I didn't know you could just like pick grain and smush it up in your hands and eat it. They were hungry, so they were doing it. And some of the Pharisees said to them, why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath? There is a religious law that says you can't do that. The Sabbath is a day of rest. You can't harvest things. Why are you doing that? That is going against the religion. But Jesus answering them said, have you not even read this? What David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he went into the house of God, took and ate the showbread, and also gave some to those who were with him, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat. And he said to them, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. Which is, he's just saying, hey, I get it. That's a great law, but when people are really hungry, we got to do what we got to do. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that an interesting thing? And at the end, when he says, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. So Jesus, who is the Son of Man, is love itself for every human being that's ever lived and ever will live. Who's in charge of religion? Who does religion work for? For that love. Because that's who God is. He's saying, look, this whole thing, don't get it twisted. This whole thing is set up as an act of love from me to the human race. That's what this is for. And then this is even shown more directly in this next part of the story. Now it happened on another Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue and taught. And a man was there whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. It's like, how can we use the religion to stop him from doing what is good? How can we show that this guy who's all about healing and loving is not doing the religious thing? He's circumventing the religion. But he knew their thoughts. He's very crafty. Jesus is very with it. And said to the man who had the withered hand, arise and stand here. And he arose and stood. Then Jesus said to them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? Is it lawful? Like, is this a fulfillment of the law to do what is good? What's the law there for in the first place? And looking around at them, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. And then the Pharisees get enraged and plan to try to do him in later. What's it for? That, to me, that is just an amazing example of the purpose is to do good. The purpose is to do good. What's religion? Why is there all this? Why is there a Sabbath in the first place? Why not just have, there's the week and you just go and do, why are there any of these laws in the first place? It's a means by which to get human beings into a place in which good is done. And that's useful to a point, but the purpose of it, don't lose sight of the goal. Anything anywhere in the world that doesn't understand its goal will crumble. If you have a business that is set up and begins to get so wrapped up in its own machinations and its own the divisions and the and they lose sight of the product or the vision, you're going to lose. You're going to slowly lose market share. They're going to get outcompeted by others. You have to know what the goal is, and things have to be in service of the goal. Without understanding the goal of religion is to live the life of love, the goal of religion is this. You move next door to somebody who is not religious, who is not in your religion, and they say, oh, yeah, I don't believe what they believe, but I'm glad they moved next door because those kind of people are nice. That's what it is. That's what it is. If you lose sight of the goal, all of the elements of religion that we were showing up there before, the praying and the church service and the reading, they lose their way. They lose their character. The goal needs to be present within every single bit of it. So understanding, and this has been hugely helpful to me, why am I doing any of this stuff? It's to lead, I can keep focused on that bright, clear, I want to be a good person. I want to bring love into the world through this. That's good. I'm going to read one more story. I'm sorry. I'm just going on too long about this. You guys can hang out back there or do anything. This is just one more. This is sort of going to make the same point as the last one, but don't close the window on the service here. Because this is making it, I think the stakes are higher in this one, and it's more dramatically showing this is about love. This is about love. It's not about being punitive. It's not being about judgmental. It's about love. All right, so this one, if you're following along, is John 8. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. But early in the morning, he came again to the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses and the law commanded us that she should be stoned, but what do you say?" This is bad. Here's the rules in the law, in the religion. What do you say? Jesus Christ, who is God, is love for every single human being. And what that means is love for the happiness of every human being. You know what love is. If you have your own kid, you know what love is. If you have any friend, you know what love is. Love is, I want to make it so that things turn out well for this person as much as they possibly can. It doesn't mean there are no rules. It doesn't mean that there's no course corrections, but it's not an antagonistic, do you live up to my standards or not? It is a desire to give this person the happiest life possible. So here's this person. She had done something that wasn't good, so they say. How does Jesus respond? Because they're saying, not only she broke the rules, here's what the penalty is for the rules. How does Jesus respond? Jesus, who is the incarnation of religion itself, the Word made flesh. This they said, testing him that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. I don't know why. I don't know what that writing on the ground is, but it's fascinating. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. He's saying, hey, it's hard. Stop. Everybody's trying. And those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left standing alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." And he said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." It's about love. And he doesn't say, "I don't condemn you either. It doesn't matter what you do." He says, "Just try again. Try to do better." Because if religion was about religion, if it was about following the laws and people are of less importance than the laws, it would have been easy. Just, you did this wrong. Here's the penalty. You get it. But the point of religion is the good life, that life of love. And so you just see that absolutely spelled out here. This is, look, it's like if you had a kid and a Ferrari, and you say, which one are you going to save if there's a flood? The kid is what matters. The laws of religion are there. I don't know how this metaphor is breaking down in real time. I don't know how a Ferrari is. The point is, people matter more, don't they? They matter more than the stuff exists for the people. Oh, I know. It's like your house. If somehow it's like my house is going to get destroyed, I don't know what scenario this would happen in. Oh, no, I'm going to lose my house, but I'm going to save my family. If a tornado came through, here we go. Tornado came through and it came in and it wrecked your house, but everybody was safe. How do you feel the next day? You feel like, I'm so glad everyone's safe, because that's what mattered. The house, sure, but it's not why it was there. So it is with religion. Religion is a tool by which we can live this life of love that God is pulling us toward. Okay, now I'm finally done. We can come out, have a little song there, and then internalize that. So there's it right out of Jesus' mouth, and these two really powerful examples. And when we come back, I've got an example from my life of seeing this sort of play out.
You can offer me a diamond-plated pearl. You can send me all the riches in the world. You can tempt me with the palaces of kings. I'd give them back in a big old sack and keep the simple things. I've got the simple things. I've got the rain and spring. Got spicy chicken wings and French fried onion rings. You can line me up a mile of limousine. For me, it don't add up to a hill of beans. I got no hankering for grabbing your brass ring. It's crystal clear, I'll stay right here and keep the simple things. I've got the rain and spring, got 16 cans of peas, and a two-speed window fan, and it's 93 degrees. So forgive me for not grabbing your brass ring. It's crystal clear, I'll stay right here and keep the simple things. Got the simple things, got lightly picking wings, got spicy chicken wings and French fried onion rings. So forgive me for not grabbing your brass ring. It's crystal clear, I'll stay right here and keep the simple things. It's crystal clear, I'll stay right here and keep the simple things. Thank you.
Hey, New Church Live, it's Angela. I just want to invite you all to consider making a donation to support New Church Live today. As we enter our fourth quarter, our fiscal year ends at the end of June, we want to encourage everybody to consider making a donation to support this church that we all know and love. We've done a lot of hard work pulling back on spending and streamlining resources, and we really feel confident that we can reach our goal this year. We have about $285,000 from the congregation. We have other grants and family foundations that support us, but we feel like we've really pulled back and made our fundraising goal really realistic. So we hope before the end of June, you'll consider making a donation, supporting this church, and making all of this that we all know, love, and care about possible. So if you want to make a donation, you can go to our homepage and there's a donate tab. You can text the word New Church Live, all one word, all lowercase, to 77977, and you can make a donation that way. So we really appreciate it. We hope that you'll support this congregation, and we hope you all have a wonderful day. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for your support. So that song there was saying, life is about the simple things. I know what that means. I feel like I had an experience of that yesterday night. I was at a restaurant with my wife and daughter, and it was like not a fancy restaurant. And there was chips and salsa on the table before the food came out, and I felt to myself like, I love this. This is so great. I get it. I get what they're talking about. The simple things. There's this goodness in the things that are simple, humble, and accessible. To set religion up as being this set of, I wanted to say teachings, but it's really just a set of all kinds of stuff, the purpose of which is to get you to live a good life, that's about the simple things. Because, like, for example, we're doing this church here, it's a very fancy theater that we're in. It looks very cool. I've been to church, and just down the road, there's this giant stone cathedral, which is very ornate and fancy, and the purpose of it is to get you to think about God when you're in there and be humble and all that. Sure, that stuff is great, but that is not what religion is. All that grandiose stuff is to get you to like this simple little, oh, I'm not going to honk at this person. Oh, I'm going to work hard to help this person. That's what it is. It's about the simple things. That is what religion is pulling you in to do, which I think is pretty cool. Now, I'm going to just overdo this concept here of trying to drive home this, what religion is about the good life that comes from these tools, because I think it needs to be slightly overdone because everything else rests on it. So here's a couple more metaphors that hopefully will get it to really click. One, tools. Let's say, and I say this as a guy who's not that great at tools. Let's say that you had a really, just like a workman's set of tools in there. And in there, by there I mean your shed or wherever you keep them. And they're there and you know how to use them and you know how to fix them and you polish them. And it's just like a great looking spread. And you keep getting new ones to grow that collection, okay? And you never build anything. And you never fix anything. What kind of person are you? A weirdo. That's the same thing as I'm very religious. I go to church. I have several bumper stickers. I quote the Bible. Do all that stuff. But I never do the actual work of religion, which is to live that life of love. That's the vibe of it. It's like if you got all these tools sitting there, it just becomes like, it becomes kind of a weird joke. Whereas if you have all those tools and you do good with them, you're so great. Like there's stuff in my house that breaks and it's pretty easy for something to break in my house and whoops, we're above my pay grade. I can't fix this thing. I can try, and then now it's way worse than when I started and we're really in trouble. But there's these people who know exactly what to do with all these tools, and I call them on the phone and I say, will you please help me? And they come in and they can give us water back in our house or give us, and it's so great. That is what really, it's don't back off from the tools. Learn how to use them and then you can do great things. So there's metaphor number one. Okay, this is our last scripture for the day that I think you might say, stop, you already made your point. We don't want to see another scripture. Okay, I'm not going to stop. This is John 15:10, where he's saying like, if then, it's like computer programming, if then, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Which one of the things there is the point? If you do this, then the love. What, you have all these things over here, your church and your everything else, then that will get you to abide in the love. That's what it's for. If you keep the commandments, what's the point of the commandments? We saw in the story with Jesus, is the commandments for the sake of the commandments? Oh, this person broke this commandment, so we gotta, no. It's about the love. That's what they're there for. Here's one last New Church theology saying the same thing. This is Secrets of Heaven 3312. Doctrine does not make the church a church unless it focuses on a well-lived life as its goal. So you can walk into a building on Sunday morning, or you can be reading something out of the Bible or something. If the intent you bring into that is not to live a good life, I don't know what you're doing, but it's not church. It's not a church. Okay. Now we can finally talk about antibiotics. So my daughter had strep throat recently. Has anyone ever had strep throat? Oh, it's so great. I had strep throat. I don't feel like I ever got it till I was a grown up. And then one time I started to get sick and I couldn't believe how badly it hurt to swallow. And this is years ago. And like it's not today. I don't have it right now, don't worry. Everyone's like, I don't want to shake hands with you on the way out. And and they were like, oh, yeah, you have strep throat. Here, you can take 4 Advil at once if you want. And I was like, yes, please, I would do that. And they gave me the same antibiotic that they gave my daughter when she had it just a little while ago. Western medicine, there's some issues with it. Like it can overgeneralize, overprescribe things. There are certain things it does really, really well, and strep throat is one of those things. They gave her this pink goopy stuff, and she got better really fast. She could go to school, like within 24 hours, you're not contagious anymore. It's amazing, medical miracle. Is this pink jar the point of what's going on here with her? Like we got that jar. What if we set it on the counter and said, here we go, we have this jar. Is that what it's about? No. It's about taking the medicine. You have to take it. Is that what it's not even really about that, is it? We're not in it to take the medicine. It's because the medicine cures the disease, right? That's what it's for. Actually, it's not even about curing the disease. What it's about is this. It's about her going to school the next day and being happy. That's what it's for. Think of how silly it would be to mistake the penicillin. No, it's not penicillin. It's like oxycodone. I forget what it's called. How silly it would be to mistake the antibiotic for that. That's what it's about rather than it being about that. The taking of it, it's not about getting it in that little syringe and stinking it into a cup and come on, just finish it. I know it tastes a little funny. What would it be like to confuse that with the goal? Even to know that now there's none of those bacteria in her, that's not what it's about. That's the goal. It's the happy life. It's the happiness she can have the next day. So it is with all religion. The goal is not being in church. The goal is not knowing the Bible or any Christian doctrines. The goal is not praying. The goal is not cultural identification with it. The goal, those things are not bad. They are a means, just like the medicine is not bad. They are a means to the goal, which the goal is the well-lived life. That is how you know it would be meaningless to engage in any of these other steps if that wasn't the goal, with a strep throat medication or with religion. The goal is the good life. Of course, that's why you're in it. So there's only one good reason to be religious. The only reason we're here doing this is that we believe by taking this path of religion, the religion we're choosing to do, we believe that by that God can lead us to that good life. That is not a watering down, that is not a secularization, that comes right out of Jesus' mouth, comes right out of New Church theology. That's the point. I'm not saying the external forms of religion aren't very helpful. They certainly are and can be, and without them, it's very hard to get to the good life, and the good life is unstable because you don't have the compass that the religion provides you, but don't mistake the religion for the good life, because that's the point of what it's all there to do. So, in case you're ever feeling like, why am I doing this? That's why you're doing it. That's why you're doing it. And that is a noble, good, beautiful, glowing reason to be doing something. You can have your head high about that and you can be proud about that. That's why I'm putting the time in to do this, is because of that happiness that I can bring to the world and to myself through living the life that God intended us to live. So let's say the prayer. This prayer is again entirely about living the good life. And you can see it in every part of it. I'm gonna say it out loud. You can say it with me. You can say it in your head. I don't really mind you doing any one of those things, but why are you gonna do it? Because you believe it will lead you to the good life. That this is a stage, us having this sort of ritual around these particular words that we believe God told us to say. Why are we doing that? Because we think it's gonna lead to we're better fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters and coworkers, and we are gonna be bringing that love into the world. That's why we're doing this. That's why we're putting this work in. Our Father, who art in the heavens, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so upon the earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's already pretty succinct, But if you had to condense that down further, this is saying, please, God, lead us to the good. Lead us to that love. Lead us to the good life. And that is a great thing to come together on Sunday and ask for, and to do it throughout the week. So go out there and be religious this week. Thanks.
This life is one act. Why do we lay all these traps? We put them right in our path when we just want to be free. I will not waste my days making up all kinds of ways to worry about all the things that will not happen to me. So I just let go of what I know I don't know, and I know I'll in the moment, living my life easy and breezy, with peace in my mind, with peace in my heart, with peace in my soul. Wherever I'm going, I'm already home, living in the moment. I'm letting myself off the hook for things I've done. I let my past go past, and now I'm having more fun. I'm letting go of the thoughts that do not make me strong, and I believe this way can be the same for everyone. And if I fall asleep, I know you'll be the one who always moment, to live in my life easy and breezy, peace in my mind, with peace in my heart, with peace in my soul. Wherever I'm going, I'm already home. Try more than once to just make sure, and I was enough. The future I'd been searching for, but I spun around and heard no more. By living in the moment, living my life easy and breezy, with peace in my mind, peace in my heart, peace in my soul. Wherever I'm going, I'm already home. I'm living in the moment. I'm living my life. Just taking it easy, with peace in my mind. Got peace in my heart. Got peace in my soul. Wherever I'm going, I'm already home. I'm living in the moment.
Thanks, everybody. Take good care. See you soon.
So.